the life of Christ, who is righteous. And seeking God for the city, the introduction of this week, you can read this. It says, righteousness is sometimes misunderstood as merely being right. But righteousness has nothing to do with religious superiority. It is simply life rightly lived in God's sight because of Christ's life and power. Broken people can be changed to live in Christ's righteousness. God has purposed to bring about much more than personal righteousness. The kingdom of God is marked by peace, joy, and righteousness lived out in everyday life. God desires to change many people at once so that the righteous character of Christ goes on display throughout entire communities. If we are restricting righteousness to right decision making, a right and wrong choice, we are totally restricting a life lived in Christ, in his righteousness, in his power, in his life. God has determined that we would live in righteousness. Be righteous, be holy as I am holy. That is not the power to choose right and wrong merely for a right decision making. Righteousness is about a lifestyle that is then leveraged into community. It's leveraged into how we relate to one another, how we engage each other in life. Not that we would say, well, in this certain circumstance, I'm right and you're wrong. But how do I relate to you in a righteous way of life, life-giving? Paul was struggling with the church in Corinth because they wanted him to make determination on what was right and wrong. Tell me, I'm going to this restaurant and they serve this there. Now, is it right or wrong to do that? And Paul's like, you're missing the point. You want to live in a way that is righteous, life-giving to one another in Christ's righteousness. Not to have a judge or a jury come down on whether something is right or wrong to do. It's about a lifestyle. And so Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, if I can get there. I'm going to read out of the NAS first, and then I want to read out of the message. But out of the NAS, it says this. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. You're not walking according to righteousness. You want to make a determination whether it's right or wrong to eat this food, you're no longer walking in righteousness. Do not destroy with food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who is this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and for the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about. That you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way, we treat or talk about it, can contaminate it. Did you catch that? Everything in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it, or talk about it, can contaminate it. If you can confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, or whether they're right or wrong, or whether this decision is right or wrong, you're no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons from whom Christ died. Would you risk sending them to hell over an item of their diet? Don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion for soil poisoning. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach. For goodness sake, it's what God does with your life that sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task is a single-mindedly serving Christ. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing the God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. You want to have a picture of what the world sees Christianity as? What's right or wrong? As a group of people who are making determinations for what's right and wrong. Are we seed for righteousness living that is marked with joy and peace? Of engaging with one another in love? Of encouraging one another? Of coming alongside of one another? Of not making determination on someone else's life or what is right for them or right wrong for them? This is not righteous living. This is not being righteous as Christ is righteous and holy. So this morning, it's a beautiful time to be encouraging to one another, especially as we take of God's table, of his family table. If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome. This is a place of acceptance and of welcoming those who God has called family. And we are family. I am so gracious, grateful, and Lance alluded to it earlier. That's what I believe the family saw this weekend. Dorado family saw this week and this weekend. It was a place of being encouraging, a place of loving one another, a place of coming alongside of one another. This is the beautiful thing that Christ has created. He says, I'm making a new family, I'm making a new nation, I'm making a new building, I'm creating a temple with which I indwell. In Christ's righteousness, there's a place of joy and peace. If you are not in a place of joy and peace this morning, be encouraged. You're with family. And God's presence is here. And it is his righteousness that we live this out. We're going to take some time once again, and we're going to speak to Jesus. We're going to talk with him. We want to be encouraged by him. He's the only one that can bring peace. He's the only one that can bring encouragement. Oftentimes he uses each one of us in the midst of that as a way to bring family and bonding together. And so if you want someone to pray with you, to agree with you, to lift up what God's doing in your life, there will be leaders, elders, and spouses around the church. Seek them out. Talk with them. Allow us then to carry those things to Jesus. And he took that bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body for you. I want to get it. Not only do I have it right, but I'm going to go through the extreme to make sure you're in the right. He did that for us. Let's take and eat. Course of action and full view of the public to set the world in the clear with himself through the sacrifice of Jesus. Finally taking care of the sins that he had so patiently endured. This is not only clear, but it's now. This is current history. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to live in his rightness. This is life with him. This is the forgiveness of sin, but that forgiveness gives us opportunity to live in his rightness. Let's take and drink together. Jesus, this is so much more than what we have created as a habit to do. This is an indication of taking communion together, of our love and submission and loyalty to you, Jesus. You said, do this and remember me. do this and remember me, not because you need us to remember you, but because of the life that we can live in you, always being aware of Jesus, of what you have done for us. We have life with you. You've introduced us to the Father. We have a way to go. We have right things in store for us. You have set us on the right path. You've given us everything we need for life and for godliness and for right living. Not right decision making only, but a rightness of life with you, Jesus. We praise you and thank you in your name. Amen.